You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for a change of perspective here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Today, I'm going to be joined by a personal friend of mine, but someone who has covered the NBA and the Sacramento Kings through the lens of photography and a different sort of camera. He will share with us the adventures that he's been on, some moments that he's gotten to capture, and a lot more on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. This is my sixth season covering the Kings as both an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And like I mentioned, today's episode going to be all about photography, and you're going to be hearing from a man that I admire completely. He has completely devoted his life to his work, and you're going to hear him talk a lot about the sacrifices that he has made and the effort and passion that he puts into his photography. He's been able to make a living out of it, make his dreams come true, being able to get the access that he has. It's taken him to some incredible places, and he will be sharing that all with you. Plus, if you are an aspiring photographer, someone who has any interest in sports photography or being like Kimani and getting to cover the NBA and sit on the sideline or stand on the sideline and take photos of NBA superstars, he will give some of his advice towards how you can be like him and how you can get that access and also make your dream a reality. So a great conversation with Kimani all about professional NBA photography is coming up here in just a second. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Kings is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Kings fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listeners, Locked On podcast listeners. If your company wants to connect with Kings fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On Kings podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you and making you a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you attend a Sacramento Kings or an NBA basketball game in general, and you take the time to actually look around the arena, you'll notice a lot of different people doing a lot of different jobs. From the people like me who are sitting there with our laptops out taking notes, live tweeting and writing stories, to, of course, all the broadcasters and TV cameras around the arena. But if you look along the court, along the baseline, and especially in the corner of the Golden 1 Center across from the visiting bench, you might notice this gentleman and a lot of different NBA photographers standing on boxes getting the best view through the lens of NBA action. And I am very excited to welcome on a personal friend of mine, someone who I've gotten to know through covering the Sacramento Kings. He was formerly with Sactown Royalty. Now, of course, they have gone in a different direction. Kimani Okira has done a fantastic job photographing and covering the NBA for many, many years. A lot of his pictures I have used personally on articles of mine, and he has a lot of photos that I know have been appreciated and taken by NBA players themselves. So I'm very excited to bring a photographer's perspective here to the Locked On Kings podcast today. Kimani, welcome in, man. It's been too long. I've waited too long, really, to have you on this podcast. I'm very excited to chat with you. I hope you are doing well and staying healthy. Thank you for joining me today on the Locked On Kings podcast.
Oh, Matt, hey, man, I'm having a great time. You know, all things considered with the situation, everybody wash your hands, don't touch your face, needless to say.
Right.
But, yeah, thank you for having me on here. And it's no, yeah, no. Any time is a good time, you know?
Yep, especially with all the free time that you and I have nowadays. And it's unfortunate, right? Because the two of us were expected to be in the Golden One Center a lot here. The back half of the set schedule for the Sacramento Kings was more home game friendly than the front half. And of course, we expected the Kings at this point in time to be deep into a playoff race. So I'm sure we would have had a lot of fantastic moments to watch together. And you would have had a lot of great moments to try and capture behind your camera. But we've had that taken away from us a little bit. We're trying to figure it out and get through it, and we don't know where the NBA is going in particular, but this is a position that you and some of your coworkers and friends, formerly with Sacktown Royalty, now with the Kings Herald, have been in for a while. And can you first start off sharing a little bit of what is going on with you and where your work is going and where people can find your work and follow the work that you do?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we, as you mentioned, our whole staff of 14 was we're no longer with Sacktown Royalty. Vox Media decided to go a different direction with their approach to freelancers. So we're breaking apart. We're going to go do our own independent thing, and I'm happy to announce/mention. It's already been announced, but I'm happy to mention that all 14 of us are going to go to the Kings Herald, and we're going to stick together as a team and produce that same quality content that you were used to at Sacktown Royalty.
Well, fantastic, and you brought up the word quality, and that is a lot of the work that you do, the photos that you put out there, the moments that you capture, game in and game out. What if someone were to ask you what it takes, the requirements to be a sports photographer? It's more than just pushing a button, being in the right space at the right time. It's obviously a vast knowledge of how photography works, but also it requires a deep understanding of the game of basketball, where to be to capture the right moments, where those right moments are going to come. So how did this this desire of yours turn into a career of sports and NBA photography?
Well, I used to play basketball in high school. I mean, it wasn't any good, but I was very passionate about the game, and I learned a lot of professional teams' playbooks back in the day. You know, we're talking NBA Live 2007, 2008, those games. Yep. I would do deep dives into these games and really explore what makes basketball tick from a pattern perspective. So, you know, and then that's just from my own natural interest in those sorts of formations. So it's just, I guess it's just a natural marriage between my artistic desires and my inherent basketball knowledge.
And what about moments that you have been a part of? I'm going to ask you in a bit where sports photography and where being a photographer for the Sacramento Kings or working with the Sacramento Kings has taken you, because you've gotten to go to some pretty cool places and witness some cool stuff with the team. But what about moments on the court that jump to mind if someone were to ask you, like, what is a favorite picture that you've captured or a spot that you've gotten to sit in, a game that you've gotten to witness? Does anything jump to mind when I ask those questions?
Well, my favorite moment so far in Golden One Center has been the Bogdanović game winner against the Lakers. That place was, I mean, you remember, that was just an insane atmosphere. It's hard to breathe in there.
Right.
And, you know, that stands apart. But there's been a lot of moments throughout my career that I've really cherished, you know, the last game at Arco Arena. In fact, the Here We Stay game, the game where we kind of all didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first year in doing this. So that was, you know, there's all those impactful moments. The D'Angelo Russell's 57 last year, that was pretty crazy. Was it 57? Does that sound right?
Something like that. It was an incredible game that when he was with the Brooklyn Nets, correct? And the Nets came battling back from a massive deficit. A hard memory for Sacramento Kings fans in terms of the lead that they blew. But you talk about
a hard memory for De'Aaron Fox, who couldn't guard Russell's left.
Yes, that is that. You're not wrong there. But what about photos that you have? Are there any photos of yours that you have taken that you have framed in your home, or if you put together like a portfolio of your best work, are there any photos over the years that you've collected that say, like, this is me in my prime, this is one of the best shots I had, and there's a massive story behind it? Anything jump to mind there?
Well, you know, I have a shot like that for every season I've been doing this. I feel like every season is well represented by one or two shots that I've gotten, but my favorite so far was the first time Seth Curry and Steph Curry played together on the NBA floor.
Mm.
That was in 2015. Seth was a King and Steph was a Warrior. Seth was with the Magic the year before, but due to injuries, they didn't actually play each other throughout that whole season. So the first time they ever played together in the NBA, Seth Curry was a king. And so I have the very first moment, those two are on the floor together, and Steph, you know, the MVP, has this smile on his face, and he's like, he's about to roast his brother. And I don't, and if fans, the fans with a good memory will remember, Steph did roast Seth. Completely, I guess, clowned on him. And I think scored, he had a 30-point game and was stepping back on his brother. It was great. It was a great moment. So that one sticks out as just kind of like, you know, I personally captured a really fun and personal moment with, you know, one of the most important players in NBA history. So,
speaking of a moment like that, I don't know, did you make Seth or Steph aware that you had that photo? And I've seen interactions of you with players showing them some of your shots after the game. Do you have any stories, fun stories to tell about moments that you've had with a player showing them a shot and they're like, man, can you send me that? Or I really appreciate that. I really like that.
Yeah. You know, going back to the early days, I've had a number of players that have asked for shots and got shots from me. Garrett Temple, Willie Cauley-Stein, Derek Williams, some of the names that I've, you know, been more than happy to work with. When it comes to the Curry brothers knowing about that shot, I don't know if Steph knows about it, but Seth, I actually met when he was with the Santa Cruz Warriors at a Taco Bell in Santa Cruz in the middle of the night.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that was, Seth Curry and Dwayne Dedman, of all people.
Wow.
And now that story sounds ridiculous since they've both been kings, and it sounds like I made it up, but I guarantee you, I was with my friend Chris back in the day, and that was a true story. They were both on the Santa Cruz Warriors. I saw him in this Taco Bell. That was after my first season doing photography in the NBA. And I just wished him luck. I said, hey, I'll see you guys in the league. And lo and behold, not only have they both had long careers in the NBA, they've both been kings.
In terms of personality-wise and just people-wise, are there any NBA players in particular that you've gotten to follow or take shots of that you really enjoy working with or following, or is for some reason this player in particular just gets you those best shots?
Well, I do try to keep it objective with the team, you know, just because of our profession. It's just, that's what we should do. Keep our work objective. And it also allows me to follow the game flow a little bit better. If I'm not focusing on one particular player's output, I can actually get the best shots because that allows me to focus on what's happening on the court, what plays are being run, who's going to be in what position, that sort of thing. I shoot manual focus, so I have to keep track of these things because, you know, there's some photographers that insist on manual focus. I'm one of them. I just feel like I have a better control over the output if I shoot manual focus, and that's really tough. I've been, the last few games there, I was challenging fans to shoot with this 200-millimeter lens that I have. It's like a 1969 piece of glass from Nikon. And people were having a really tough time. The shots turned out terrible. So it goes to show, you know, the kind of depth of mind you have to have in order to get these shots.
See, you and I share the same approach towards what we do, a desire to be as objective as possible, even though we both make it known that we appreciate the Kings, we follow the Kings, we love the game of basketball, so we have part of our heart that is attached to our work, but it's very different how I approach or what I'm dealing with versus what you're dealing with, what the two of us do, and I know from interacting with you, seeing you work, and chatting with you, that you are a very passionate person when it comes to your work. So let me ask, where did that passion come from, and what obligation do you feel to the game, getting to do the job that you do, being one of the few that gets to get that close to the action, that gets the access that you get, that takes those shots? What obligation do you feel you have as an NBA photographer and really a storyteller?
Well, part of that obligation is sacrifice. You know, it's not... I don't want people to be fooled. It's not like I have made a gainful career out of what I'm doing here. So it's been about sacrifice. It's been about taking a step back on some other goals in my life to get this done. And, you know, part of that is realizing, you know what, there's thousands upon thousands of people in this world who want to do what we're doing, who want to be in this position, who would want to be this close to the NBA and be a part of what's happening and be part of NBA history. You know, every piece that we put out, no matter who you're working for, what platform, how small or how large, everything that you do is now a permanent part of that NBA lore. So I take that very seriously. And part of that, respecting what that is focusing purely on the game. So I'm not really interested in players' personal lives, anything like that. We have good working relationships. I have better working relationships with some players. You know, we can have side chats about some family stuff, but when it comes to the work and getting the job done, I have a deep reverence for the game. So it comes from being raised by a coach, being raised by a man who played college basketball at San Jose State. So it's just part of how I see the world, and I'm just really happy and really thankful to be able to have a part in this.
Well, you know as well as I do, Kimani, that part of our what we are paid in, and it's a misconception that if you get to the position that we are at, money and riches and fame comes with it. You mentioned the sacrifice element of what you'd have to put in, but one of the things that I always share when people ask me about this job is I share with them that I am paid in the experiences that I get, in the access that I get. And I know in a lot of ways you feel the same way. Now, that doesn't always put food on the table, and that doesn't always show up in your bank account, but it does show up in stories and moments and times where you can kind of have an out-of-body moment and pause and say, look where I am, look what I'm doing, how blessed am I?
Well, yeah, well, look at what you're doing now. I mean, you can look back, even if we step away from the league, you can look back at every podcast that you've done, and you say, you know what, I was part of this when this was happening.
Right.
And I built part of this.
Yeah.
And I do that. I had that realization a couple of years ago too, Matt. I was thinking, you know, I'm not doing enough with this access. I have these photos and that's incredible, but you know, I do have extra time I can be filling. And we have social media outlets. So I started doing a series of stories on Snapchat called, and I just organized them into a small web series called NBA Lens Phase.
Yeah.
And originally it was going to be, I was going to be playing this character that was, you know, just treating the whole NBA as his personal landscape, but that got really old for me personally very quick. So then it turned into more of an NPR style documentation of experiences from game to game. And I think that looking back on it, I watched old episodes while I'm trying to catch up on posting them across various networks. I watch the old episodes all the time, and that's pretty interesting because, you know, it's fun to think about the big machine that is the NBA from the different perspectives of people that we work with, from the ushers, from the vendors, you know, to the people cleaning up the stuff after the game, to the journalists, you know, photographers, everybody involved, the towel people, you know, the towel people that are running out onto the court. It's the whole thing's fascinating to me because we all have a part in it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Lens Face. It's something that I think is brilliant that you came up with, that I have been a viewer of, and I encourage a lot of people to check out. So before we go any further, let me just ask you, where can people find Lens Face? Obviously, we're on an NBA hiatus right now, so the content may look a little bit different, but where could people find that kind of work that you do, as well as a lot of the photography? Do you have a gallery or portfolio of your work anywhere that's quick and available access for fans and viewers out there?
The quickest and best way, I think, is my Instagram page, which is instagram.com/NBA Lens Phase. You can also find it by using hashtag Lens Phase. I'm kind of all over that hashtag. And that's where you can find both the show that I've done and many, many, many photos and different graphic pieces that I've done. That's a good example of the kind of work that I do in the NBA. And there's a wide range of shots. A lot of it's focused on the Kings, but you know, I'm like I said earlier, we do our job objectively. So I take pictures of whoever comes into town. I try to stay as well versed as I possibly can on incoming rosters because that's tough. Sorry, especially in 2020 with the way roster turnover is these days, and half the league spends time in the G League. So That's a tough task, but you have to know. And you have to know who's coming in, what the storylines are, what they're going through, where they're at in their careers and if they have any potential to make any waves in the NBA.
I have a couple more things for you. The first one is going back to the experiences that we've get. You've had a couple opportunities, if I'm not mistaken, to attend All-Star Weekend and capture All-Star Weekend through your lens. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like and where your photography and you following the NBA, where that has taken you?
That was amazing. In 2019, when the Kings had lots of representation at All-Star Weekend, I was approved to go. And so thankfully, I reached out to the audience of Stacktown Royalty. We put together a crowdfund, and I was able to go out to Charlotte and cover the whole weekend, 16-hour days. So that's a lot of work. But that was the time of my life. One of the many times of my life. But that ranks up there. It was amazing seeing all of anybody who's anybody in NBA kind of congregate in one place. And you're rubbing shoulders with these folks. And, you know, they're all just people. We learned that at early junctures in our career, that they're all just people. So, you know, the starstruck days are way behind me. But at the same time, you're in awe of, hey, that's Dr. J over there, you know. That's Shaq. Well, Shaq's been around, but, you know, these big NBA superstar names that you've known throughout throughout your time as a consumer and now your time as a professional congregate in one place. It's fascinating. And then my experience at the All-Star game was great. I had a great time Saturday night. I had a great time shooting the rookie game and during the All-Star game itself. That was fun. Where they put me to shoot photos, you know, that was to be expected as an independent, but I made it work, and I'm very happy with the result.
Well, that's awesome, man. What would you tell for aspiring photographers, sports photographers, NBA photographers out there that are trying to work to get to the level that you are out? And I encourage people to, if nothing else, go and follow Kimani on Twitter, at the Kimonsta, where he posts almost all of his game shots on any given night. It's funny. It has your gallery here. I'm on your page right now, Kimani, and your third photo on the gallery right here is Seth and Steph together, which is awesome that we were just talking about that. But I mean, if I'm ever looking just to look at some NBA photography, I'll make sure to take the time to peruse through. There's also a picture right here in front of me of a LeBron James Laker Tomahawk jam that happened here in Sacramento. So many great photos by Kimani. This man is a professional. So what advice would you give to aspiring photographers out there to get to where you're at?
Well, it's the same advice I give to anybody who is looking to enter into the sports media atmosphere. The best thing you can do is get in the building. So that's going to require sacrifice, and it's going to require an understanding of what it means to be a professional. You know, you can't buy your way into this stuff. You have to know how to handle this, how to handle what's going on. So all that means is just you focus on the opportunities that come up, and just know that you can turn your access into other gainful things, because once that's part of your brand, that never goes away. I always have my portfolio of shots that I've done over these 7 years to point to. And as my work continues and as I progress, that portfolio is only going to grow and become stronger. And when I point people to it, people want to hire me on a private basis all the time. So my advice is focus on professionalism. Know that you're going to have to make sacrifices, but don't sacrifice your mental health.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join me here on today's Locked On Kings podcast. Before I let you go, how can people find you? How can they support the work that you do and follow you in your fantastic career that still has a long way to go, in my opinion?
Well, the best way, you mentioned at the Kimonsta on Twitter. I usually check my Twitter once a day, so that's a good way to get a hold of me. You can find the show LensFace on Instagram at NBA LensFace. I also have it curated in a playlist on YouTube. That's the best way to get that is just to ask me for a link through my Twitter. I'm trying to catch it up on Facebook. I'm working on it. It's a few episodes behind on Facebook, but we're getting to it. You can find it on Facebook with hashtag LensFace. but I'm about 30 episodes behind on uploading. So we're getting to it.
Well, Kamani, you're the man. Thank you so much again for taking the time, buddy. I always appreciate your work. I am a fan of yours as well as a friend of yours. So it means a lot to have you here on this platform and get to chat
Matt,
with you.
That's an amazing thing to say, Matt. And I'm glad you exist. You stay safe, stay healthy, keep your family healthy. You know, for those listeners out there, Matt is a terrific person. He's a terrific person to talk to on a personal level. And he is, as he said, he focuses on objectivity, and that's important. So just know that being a part of this, we take that very seriously. And so when you're engaging on Twitter and these things, just try to keep that same level of respect in mind.
I appreciate that, brother. See you soon, hopefully at an NBA arena very, very shortly. When things can get back to normal, we can get back to doing the things that we love.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
That'll do it for another week here of the Locked On Kings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. As this NBA hiatus goes on, so do we here on Locked On Kings. I continue to promise you great daily coverage of your Sacramento Kings through this season suspension. So please be sure to come back next week. Unfortunately, I mentioned yesterday that I was going to be joined by the G-Man Gary Gerald, legendary Sacramento Kings radio broadcaster, on Monday. Sadly, he had a tragic death in his family. You can hear more and find out more. He posted about it on his social media accounts on Twitter and on Facebook. So he unfortunately is not going to be able to join us on Monday. However, I am working on getting Howard Beck, the national NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. He's joined me before, and we're trying to work out a time for him to join me again sometime next week, plus a lot more great guests and a lot of great coverage. And I also want you to be a part of the show. We still are taking people. If you want to be a part of a fans-only podcast here on the Locked On Kings podcast, all you have to do is email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Send me your name, a little bit of backstory about how you became a Sacramento Kings fan, and hopefully we can work out a time to get you on the podcast, record an interview, and produce and get more fans-only episodes out there to the general public and to those listeners of the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm so grateful for all of you. I hope all of you are staying safe and staying healthy, and that continues through this weekend. If you have an opportunity to leave a review of this podcast, best place to do that is on either iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That gets the most clicks. I know about 48-49% of you actually listen to this podcast through Apple Podcasts or iTunes, and yet only about 15-20% of you actually have left a review there. So if you could take that time, helps us out a ton. It gives us an opportunity to grow. We can learn what we're doing right, what we need to do better. It's a great place for constructive criticism, as well as if you just want to throw your praises and your love for this podcast out there. That, of course, works too. It gets a lot of eyes. It brings new people here into the Locked On Kings podcast, makes them aware that this content is out there and available for them, even though the NBA currently is on pause. Be safe this weekend. Can't wait to have you back on Monday. Until then, my name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.